Tunisia's political crisis is deepening. The president has dissolved the parliament, accusing the suspended members of attempting a coup. But they say it's Kais Saied who's grabbing power illegally. So where does Tunisia go from here? This is Inside Story. Hello and welcome to the program. I'm Mohammed Jamjoum. It's been nearly 8 months since Tunisia's president sacked the prime minister, suspended parliament, and granted himself broad executive powers. Kais Saied's supporters welcomed the moves as necessary to root out corruption. But his critics accused him of a coup. Now, Saied says he's the target of an attempted coup. He dissolved parliament after members defied him by voting online to repeal the decrees he used to assume near-total power. Tunisia's constitution says an election must be held within 3 months. But Saied, a former constitutional law professor, has rejected this. MPs, including the speaker and head of the largest political party, Ennahda, have been summoned to be questioned by Tunisia's anti-terrorism police.
The people in Tunisia are holding on to the constitution. We reject the president's decision to dissolve the Legislative Council, as it's a continuation of his decisions taken on July the 25th, which we rejected and considered as a coup. This is a continuation of the coup.
Elisia Volkman reports from Tunis.
President Saied says there will be no fresh elections anytime soon. This despite him dissolving parliament and the constitution saying he's just 90 days to hold new legislative elections. This follows from Parliament holding an online plenary session on Wednesday. It's the first time that they've met together since last July, when President Saied sacked government and froze Parliament, bringing in a period of what he called was exceptional measures necessary to save the country from imminent danger. Parliament voted to end this period of exceptional measures, and Saied responded by dissolving Parliament. Saied called it a coup d'etat, a constitutional coup d'etat, but a failed coup. Since then, MPs have been summoned for questioning at Tunisia's terrorist police station, and this includes the Speaker of House of Parliament, Rachid Ghannouchi, who leads the largest party in Parliament. Parliament, as yet, no arrests or charges have been made. And Parliament is waiting for the results of today's questioning to decide on when they'll hold another plenary session. They want to ensure that enough parliamentarians are present to have a quorum enough to pass votes on any motions proposed. Elisia Volkman for Inside Story.
We'll go to our guests in a moment, but first, let's take a closer look at the political crisis. The democratic transition in Tunisia since the 2011 revolution has been tumultuous, and matters came to a head last year. In July 2021, President Saied sacked the prime minister and froze the parliament. His opponents accused him of staging a coup. But Saied has argued he acted legally to rescue the country. During protests against him, Saied announced in September that he'd rule by decree. This allowed him to appoint cabinet members, set policy, and put aside parts of the constitution. In January this year, he initiated an online consultation to draft a new constitution, but he hasn't involved any major political or civil society groups. All right, let's go ahead and bring in our guests. In Tunis, we have journalist Rabib Alwi. In Nicosia, in Cyprus, Monsef Khaddar, associate professor in the Department of International Relations at Cyprus International University. And also in Tunis, political commentator Sharif Al-Qadi. Welcome to you all, and thanks for joining us today on Inside Story. Rabib, let me start with you today. Just how fragile is democracy in Tunisia right now?
I think with the latest decisions taken by President Kais Saied, Tunisia's democracy is really shaken. And I think this is a big threat to our democracy that we built a decade ago. Today, people are frustrated because they are waiting for real measures, economic reforms. I think Tunisia today needs more economic plans and economic measures than political decisions like dissolving the parliament.
Sharif, let me ask you, just how big a crisis is this right now, what's going on, and where does Tunisia go from here?
Well, actually, the crisis, whether politically or economically speaking, is really dangerous, and we are really in a very deep crisis here, whether politically, I mean, politically speaking, there is no democracy anymore in Tunisia. Unfortunately, I'm really sad to say this, but when only a person has the control of the executive, the legislative, and the judiciary power, whether directly or indirectly, and with no possibility to overrule or to repeal any of the decrees issued by the president, this cannot be really democracy. This is the pure or the exact definition of dictatorship. Whether it will move to a tyrannical regime or a severe or an authoritarian one, we still don't know, but unfortunately the signs are that we are moving toward this, unfortunately. And economically speaking, especially, I mean, after the last Fitch rating, we are running toward bankruptcy. So if there are no further steps taken, whether in terms of structural reforms of the economy, or at least say not structural reforms, since these are maybe linked with the IMF reforms that are not very popular in Tunisia, if there are no real reforms, deep reforms in the economy, if we are not, let's say, implementing or re-implementing the checks and balances of a democratic system, then unfortunately we are heading toward a dictatorship and a very deep economic crisis.
Monsef, ever since July of 2021, when President Saied suspended parliament, sacked the prime minister, President Saied has been saying that those actions and the subsequent actions that he's taken are constitutional, that he is granted the power to take these actions. From your vantage point, are the actions that he has taken, including the last one of dissolving parliament, are those actions actually constitutional?
You see, there is a problem here. There is a tradition in Tunisia of speaking about constitutional coup and political changes and liberalization and, to some extent, setbacks from something liberal to something authoritarian. So what happened to some extent is very often framed from different perspectives, from the liberal procedural strictly constitutionalist perspective, it is something antithetic to constitutional norms and antithetic to liberal thinking. But to what extent is this anti-democratic or is it a coup? It depends, because this is a debate. Those who support the president, and behind the president those who are also not very critical, they think that the revolution, between quotation marks, Jasmine revolution, was betrayed. And what to do? The way the president operated, it's problematic, there is no doubt. And how to judge it or assess it from different perspectives? From the liberal perspective, it's very hard to defend it. From the revolutionary perspective, it's also a big question mark. Mm-hmm. Because where are the masses, even if there are people supporting him? Mm-hmm. Now, also, the theorists of democratization, many of them thought that one has to abandon this paradigm about transition to democracy. They agree on the fact that it's non-liberal, authoritarian, autocratic system. But from there, where to go? Mm-hmm. Why think in linear terms we are getting somewhere? So after saying that there is a transition and they have some criteria, some of them are empirical, some theoretical, and they make sense. Here we are now. What is happening since? Since 2010, for the Kais Saied and those who are supporting him, there was a mess. So the parliament, or what is called parliamentary democracy, some people want to go back to that, and mobilizing masses in terms of what is called the citizens against the coup. And Turkey, for instance, from the outside, is itself from the beginning labeling it, defining it, categorizing it as a coup. But on the other hand, some scholars and some thinkers believe that the leaders of the counter-coup and counter-democracy are the following, which is relatively satisfying, but at the same time problematic.
Monsef,
they say
let me,
USA,
Let me pick up on some of the point that you're making in a later question, because I want to ask Rabib right now. You heard Monsef there talk about the fact that there has been a lot of disagreement since last July about whether the actions of President Saied then were a coup or not. So you had that happen. You have the allegation since then that that was a coup. That's from his opponents. Now you have President Saied who's saying that he is the target of an attempted coup. What does the public think? Does the public think that President Saied engaged in a coup? Does the public think that now there is an attempt of a coup against President Saied? You know, what is their mindset on this?
I think the public opinion is divided today in Tunisia between people who are with the president and describing his actions as an action of hero who will save the country. On the other hand, we have people who are against him and they are describing his actions as a coup. If you want my opinion, I think he is manipulating the law today. For example, when he used the Article 72 of the Constitution on Wednesday, it's paradoxical because you can't use this article while you took the exceptional measures in July according to the Article 80. For example, if you see this Article 80, you can understand that he can't dissolve the parliament, and the parliament must maintain in session till the next election. So it's a paradox. You can't use both Articles 80 and 72 at the same time while he declared already a state of emergency. So I think this paradox is really, we are witnessing really this paradox in the Tunisian street, who are today divided more than ever between who are with him and against the president. But mostly the political parties are against him, and he's really facing a big opposition today.
Sharif, how specifically does President Saied want to remake the political system in Tunisia? Is it just that he wants a presidential system? Does he want to grab more power? Does he want to lessen the power of parliament and just expand executive powers? What is his vision going forward?
Well, actually, his vision, I think that only Saied knows his vision, because even some of his supporters, they think they are saying the thing and in its total contrary in the same argument or the same sentence. I mean, the main idea that is known behind Saied political rhetoric or narrative is the idea of the council democracy, that is that there are elections on a person at the local level, and then they move up till the national parliament, from the local to the region to the subnational, then the national parliament. This is the council democracy as it is said, but there are no real, let's say, whether definition or details more about it. But what we have right now on the ground, the fact is that Saied is clearly willing to amend the constitution and the electoral framework to have a presidential regime centralized with the centralization of the executive power and more decentralized legislative powers through these councils. But what are the details? It's still unclear. And yesterday it was at least obvious that he's willing to amend the constitution and to move towards and to go for a presidential system after the results or the publication officially of the results of the online national consultation, with more than 80% of Tunisians or the participants to the consultation willing to change the political system into a presidential one. But here it's not the issue, I think. The issue is that on the ground, what we have now is the dismantling of the 2014 constitution institutions, mm-hmm. whether it is the parliament, the Supreme Judicial Council, some shrinking of the civic space, what we've heard or seen, for instance, with the leak of a decree to amend the decree 88 regulating the work of NGOs in Tunisia. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, maybe getting rid of another balance to his power, the power of the civil society organizations. What we are seeing on the ground is a weird power grab by only one person who is in control of almost everything, and that the decision he's taking will be repealed or overruled.
Munsef, I remember when Parliament was suspended in July of 2021, speaking to many Tunisians, and the consensus was that President Saied was, you know, his actions were very popular among the public because they were tired of the political infighting, of the squabbling, and they wanted to see things get done. I want to ask you how much support President Saied has now among the public, because here we are almost a year later. The economy is worse off. Things haven't generally improved, and there is still political stasis in the country.
I think the problem, to some extent, to answer directly and indirectly your question, is that, first of all, there is a tradition of within the political elites to go after each other, who is democrat, who is authoritarian, who is autocrat, who is for the revolution, who is against the revolution, and there is a plot, and let's tighten more the system. And I don't know to what extent this gets masses behind in one side or another, and it looks like the elite is very often more or less open to what is happening in the streets, but at the same time is manipulating. And I will say, what about those who think in terms of progressive or even radical? The coup is also not from outside, but both within the society and outside the society, both the economic elites. To what extent it is a fiasco today, because different types of elites, even the economic elites, is also unhappy and probably has grievances. But nevertheless, to think in terms of binary and dichotomy, is this democracy, is this autocracy, is this authoritarian, is this liberal? But the dynamics within the Tunisian regime and Tunisian system as a whole, in connection with the regional actors and regional forces, interests, is very complicated. Because, tell you the truth, I remember very well, one of the, among others, ex-minister of the first president of Tunisia, Belkhoja, himself, like the last, before the last president, were running for presidential system. And they were not at ease with this system since 2014 constitution, semi-presidential, semi-parliamentarian, and experts in democratization are telling us you are going to walk straight into something hybrid, which is this and that at the same time. Nevertheless, at the procedural level, I admit that it's very hard to defend on the concrete empirical grounds what is happening. But here we are. To say something about this, one has to move to the level of pure politics, which is it opportune to do this? Is it the way to do it, even if you want to be defending what you think 10 years left were based on reactionary, conservative, counter-revolutionary, anti-democratic? I have to say, even Marzouki, as president, said the connection or the networking between between the Islamist and Nida Tunis at that time was counter-revolutionary. So where did this policy or this coalition or these alliances start going in the wrong direction? Now, what is happening is really problematic, and how to read it. But is it a constitutional crisis? Is it a political crisis? It is also kind of a combination of all these.
Right. Munsef, I'm so sorry. I don't mean to interrupt you, but we are starting to run out of time. Rabib, let me ask you, from your vantage point, what are the consequences for these MPs who've been summoned? And depending on how this plays out, do you think that we might see some of these MPs prosecuted?
Yes, we will see that MPs will be prosecuted, and this was an announcement by the president a few days ago. Unfortunately, this image is not good for, as I told you, for our democracy, and this is a real threat to Tunisia, shaking democracy. Unfortunately, we are seeing that the law is manipulated by the president. And I think that as a journalist, I think we have to be vigilant, because not only the democracy is threatened, but also freedom of press and freedom of expression is threatened more than ever today.
Sharif, this parliament session that happened online, where there was more than half the parliament members present, what kind of impact does that have on President Saied's grip on power? Because essentially they had tried to overturn what President Saied had done when it came to suspending parliament. Does this show, or does this indicate, that the opposition, even though they've been really fractured in the past, perhaps are uniting more and feeling more confident to really forcefully oppose President Saied? Does it weaken his grip on power at all?
I think so far, actually, no. But what we've seen from President Saied was a reaction. I mean, maybe non-calculated reaction by dissolving the parliament, and maybe that's what they were looking for. By dissolving the parliament, I mean, maybe they were looking to put pressure on him, not internally, but especially on the international level, showing that President Saied is now really in control of all the powers, and he's contradicting himself, because a few months ago, he said that the constitution doesn't allow him to dissolve the parliament, and 2 days before his decision, he said that, according to the constitution, I cannot dissolve the parliament. But then, in a very weird interpretation of Article 72, he decided to dissolve the parliament to save the unity of the state, according to his point of view. So I think maybe these are the first results of this plenary session, is to maybe to let Saied move further into his power grab, and then with this showing his nature, according to them, that he is the dictator or future severe dictator.
And Sharif, just very quickly, if I could follow up with you, do you think that there's any hope right now that there could be a dialogue between the president and parliament?
So far, I think it's almost near zero. Hope, I mean, 0%, because unfortunately, Saied. But maybe the national organizations like the Tunisian Labour Union would play a role, like the same organization and three other national organizations did in 2014. Even though now it's clear that the Tunisian Labour Union has a clear position towards the parliament and that it supported the solution. The upcoming period, you will see the Labour Union and other national organization playing being an intermediary between the president and the other political opponents. And this would be possible, I think, unfortunately, because of the economic situation.
Sharif, I'm sorry to interrupt you. We just have about a minute left, and I just want to ask Rabih quickly. At a time in Tunisia when the economy is in such bad shape, when many say that it's headed toward disaster, there's a recession, food prices have driven up massively, how hard is it for Tunisian citizens right now?
It's really hard. The economic crisis already started in 2020 with the health crisis, and the crisis is intensifying today with the war in Ukraine. That's why, as I told you, people are frustrated and disappointed, because 8 months after he took this measure in July 2021, people are waited for economic plans, economic decisions, economic reforms, but really nothing is done. Mm-hmm. So I think measures is intensifying the economic crisis today.
All right. Well, we have run out of time, so we're going to have to leave it there today. Thanks so much to all of our guests, Rabih Alawi, Munsif Khaddar, and Sharif Al-Qadi. And thank you, too, for watching. You can see the program again anytime by visiting our website, aljazeera.com. And for further discussion, go to our Facebook page. That's facebook.com/AJInsideStory. You can also join the conversation on Twitter. Our handle is @AJInsideStory. From me, Mohammed Jamjoum, and the whole team here, bye for now.